So, for those of you who don't know, last week I was at summer camp all week, and the theme of this camp was outreach and a lot about witnessing and under shepherding. And so I kind of just wanted to share what blessed me from it. And I'm going to pack 5 days of the word into about 25 minutes. So I apologize if I go a little fast. Let me know if it's too fast, but we can start in 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2, verse 4, says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So the word "will" there is a natural response, an act of impulse or a desire. And the word "knowledge" is thought through participation, real learning, or clear understanding. So God's desire is for that all men to be saved, and that the word can have a powerful influence on anyone who hears it. So that should be our desire too, and that's why we witness and under shepherd people, to share the word so that they can have the opportunity to have all the things that are available to us. We can go to Acts 28. Acts 28, verse 31. Acts 28:31 says, "Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding here." And so the word "preaching" there is making a proclamation. So when we speak the word, it should be a joyful announcement that we make, that we hold it forth boldly. And you never really have to defend or argue the truth. If people don't want to believe, let them not believe, and you can wipe the dust off your feet. Excuse yourself from them. Because what have you got to lose? You've got nothing to lose. But they have everything to lose. The most selfish thing you can do is not share the word with someone, and that was said this weekend. We don't know what's in another person's heart, so when we share, we don't have to focus on what they look like. It might be someone who's not your friend, someone who is your friend, a stranger that you've never met. Because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And this is a shot that we don't want to miss. We need to grow this family and move the word. And you're not really witnessing unless it's the true word. So just, it can be really simple. You just have to speak what you know. You can say something that God did for you today, or something that's like super fundamental, like God loves you or God forgives you. It's not a disgrace to not know. It's a disgrace to say you know and don't know. You can go to Mark 16. Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." That word "damned" is the word "judged." Verse 17, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, at the beginning is the word "if." If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So signs and miracles and wonders follow believers wherever they go. And that builds believing. But we just have to let God work. Go back to Acts 26. Acts 26:18 says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So the context here is that Paul is describing how he met Jesus on the way to persecute Christians in Damascus. So he obviously accepted Jesus' commission to spread the offer of forgiveness to the Jews and the Gentiles. So Paul's preaching reconciliation. So God's heart for people, all men, is for their eyes to be opened, for them to turn from darkness to light, and that they can know the truth of his word. And so really we can't do it ourselves, because if we just rely on our own strength, then we'll fail. But when we say, God, I need help, and you have him working with you and walking with you, then that's what makes it work. So we have to walk with God on his word, and we have that in our control at all times, everywhere we go. We can go to John 17. John 17:13. John 17:13 says, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So when the adversary sticks his foot in something or someone, that person can't enjoy life. But when we step in and introduce God, their life becomes beautiful and wonderful and joyful. And God has given us those people who we can under shepherd. The word sanctify in verse 17 is set free. Sanctify them through truth. Set them free with the truth. And the word is the only thing that can do that. Everything that God had in Christ, we have in the Christ in us. And because of this gift that we have received, now we have to give it. The truth, the accuracy, the love, everything that God's given us, we give now. We receive it with meekness, we retain it with conviction, and we release it with boldness. It's a law that as you give, you receive. And giving and receiving is one of the bases of life, and the real joy is in the giving. But witnessing is also an art, and it's an art that you have to master. And the thing that always holds us back is fear. Fear is man's greatest enemy. But once we get over that fear, it's gold. We're good to go. And we have to make that word living and real in our life, because it is life. We are called to be living epistles, able ministers, and ambassadors for Christ. We can go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Second Corinthians 4, 1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So what we have been taught is written in our hearts, and that's what people will read. Our life is the most tremendous witness. You are a love letter from Christ to the world. We are like Christ, and we have to be examples to those non-believers. And God has always made sure that his word is known. It's always been part of his plan to have living epistles to spread the word. And we have to make sure it's seen, right? Because that's what God wants. We are spirit-filled, and God is our ability. Our triumph comes from God. And so we have to manifest that spirit. And that word manifest is to make something visible that is unknown. God is so unknown to people. And we can't hide it from people. We need them to see it, to see God for who he really is, because people are lost in this cold, dark world run by the adversary. Our ministry is to shine. We preach Christ, and we are there to serve and love and under-shepherd people until they can stand on their own. And the emphasis is on the expectancy of the power of God that he will come through. Next chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So the ministry of reconciliation is a mission from God, and we're the only ones who are qualified to fulfill that mission. So word over the world begins with you and me, and people need to know the mystery so that they can live a more abundant life too. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're a piece of God and Christ in an unknown place, and our citizenship is really in heaven, and that's our spirit. And when we're here, it's just like if Christ was still present and acting. We have the power and the weight of heaven behind us everywhere we go, and we can walk out with confidence and boldness knowing that. God showed us his love by sending his only son to die for us, and the only logical reaction to that is to love and serve him back, to live our lives for him, and we're made near to him by Christ's blood. And what a message that is. It's good news in a world of bad news. We can heal the brokenhearted. We can give deliverance to the captives. We have to teach them the truth to set them free, because you can't beat getting just one person free from bondage. You can do, of course, many more, but just one person that really makes a difference. It's a great purpose and accomplishment. They'll never have a chance without us. But none of it is profitable if it's not done in love. We can go to Hosea 4. Hosea 4, verse 6. We're just going to read the first part of it. Hosea 4, 6. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." So people are destroyed because they don't know what to think or do. They're so lost. But this is the answer. And it is deliverance. And they are not going to know that unless we tell them. It's profitable. It's fully equipping. And we can give people that. And we need people to have somewhere to turn to that's reliable and can take care of them. And that's God. We can go to 1 John 3. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, "Hereby perceive ye the love of Christ, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So how can God's love dwell in you if you withhold the word? How can non-believers see Christ's love if they don't see it in you and me? They're going to know us by our love, and so they will know God by us loving, but we have to show it. In chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So God's word isn't embarrassing. It's perfect, and we can be confident in that. So we don't have to be afraid when we speak his word, because it is being done in love. And we don't have to second guess what we speak. Hannah Gilmore shared, and one thing that she said that really stuck out to me was that everyone has the same God-shaped hole in their heart, but we have the thing that can fill that hole. You can go to 2 Corinthians 9.2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." So there's secureness all around with God. He is able, and he covers all when we do and speak his word. There's no going wrong living this way. We stand out, and we have something different, and people notice it about us. And it's the word that we stand on and that we do. So we have to devote our life to God and his word, and he will do the same for us. We can go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." So I don't have to rely on my limited mind, strength, and weaknesses. I can rely on God, and we can't argue his way. The word also doesn't return to God void. We sow and God gives the increase. And there's nothing we can do to know if the word that we spoke actually made an impact on someone. But God's going to do something great with the fact that you did speak it and those words are out in existence now. We can go to James 3. James 3:16. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So we can help people not be confused and lost in a world that is loud. The word is not useless information, it is the truth. And so what we have to do is we have to preach the word when it's convenient and not convenient. We can go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 8. Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah." So we can trust in God at all times now and continuously. The rewards and peace will be endless. It says pour out here, and that means to gush. And so God does not say to filter out the things that we say to him. Like when a dam breaks, all the fish and sticks and mud and grime that was in that body of water comes out with it. So God wants to hear about all the complicated, messy things that we have to deal with in our lives too. And there's refuge and safety with him. We can trust him with the things we are saying, and we can give him everything we've got. Because when our hearts are free and we have those burdens lifted off of our shoulders, we can go really far spiritually, and spiritually for ourselves and for other people. And God knows you. He knows when you're holding something back. And so you don't need to hide your heart from him because he wants you. Debbie Penna shared this verse, and she said that we can't make withdrawals from an empty account. So we have to make sure our hearts are taken care of too, so that we can help others. You can go to John 10:10, but while you guys are turning there, I'm gonna tell a couple stories from camp. The first day we got there was Monday, right before dinner time. And we couldn't get into our rooms right away, so a couple of my friends and I went on a walk down to the lake, and we passed a butterfly garden, and it was really pretty. We stopped there and admired it for a little bit, and my friend Naomi said, "God, give me a butterfly," and so I chimed in. I was like, "God, give me a blue butterfly," and we kept walking around, and we ended up seeing a monarch and a blue butterfly, and so that was really cool. Just to, like, it was like a silly little thing. I was just like, yeah, like, let's just do this. And then God was like, here you go, just to bless me. And so it doesn't have to be like these huge things you ask for. It can be something small just to bless you. The second time this happened was on Wednesday. I was taking a shower, and it was kind of college style. There was like a communal girls' bathroom, and so there's other people waiting. And I was waiting for the water to go hot because I don't really like cold showers, and my friend Shannon was waiting for me, so I was like, this is taking so long, I'm wasting water, I'm wasting time. And so I was like, God, it doesn't bless me to take a cold shower right now. I'm like standing there freezing, and I was like, it really blessed me to have a hot shower. And so I kind of just stood there and I kept doing my thing, like just like believing that the water would go hot. And in the next couple seconds it went so hot I had to turn it down. And even then, like, it was just like, I just wanted a hot shower, and God was like, here you go. And the third time this happened was on Thursday. Naomi and I went on a love hike to the top of, there was like a hiking trail on top of a mountain with a cool overlook. And we chose the day that there was a chance of rain. And so we were hiking, we're listening to music, and we're like, this weather is not looking good. And so, I stop and I turn the music off, and I found out later that Naomi thought I was really like goofy for doing this. She was like, it's just a little bit of rain, like why are you doing this? So I stopped and I prayed and I said, God, like hold off the weather until we get to the top so that we can have a nice view, which is to admire what you created. And I also prayed for the bugs, because we were walking and it was like you were inhaling them, they were in your eyes, super uncomfortable. So again, just another small thing that I can totally deal with, but like I'm like, do I really want to deal with this? No. So we keep walking, flip the music back on, just keep enjoying what we're doing. And as we keep walking, the bugs slowly go away. And the rain did hold off until we got to the top. And we sat, there's this cool rock ledge, we kind of sat on it and kind of just like talked together and looked out on like this like beautiful landscape. And then in the distance, we watched the rain come in. And the entire time we walked down, it downpoured. Under any other circumstances, I feel like I would have been, oh crap, this is like awful. But we were just so thankful that God literally was like, here, you're staying at the top, here's your scene, now here comes rain. Like I was holding off just to the second for you. And so we kind of went down like just blasting music, talking to each other, just smiling and laughing, completely drenched. So those were three things that really blessed me, just to show that like God was listening, that he cares, which I don't really think I've ever like gone before, so that was pretty cool. Anyway, back to the word. John 10:10, and that says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So the adversary is the one who causes all the bad in this world. But eventually he is going to get his, and we're going to participate in that. But seriously, what a horrible goal it is to steal and to kill and to destroy in this world. But with God, we can live an incredible, more than abundant life. And we can deal with this spiritual realm by the power that God has given us. And so God wants that for us, and that's why it's available to us. But we have to make that power available to other people, because the adversary really affects a lot of things in this world that people don't have to go through. We have to make it available to other people so that they can be saved from it. You can go to Isaiah 58, just two more places. Isaiah 58, verse 6. This whole chapter is a really good chapter. We went through it a lot during camp on multiple occasions, but we're kind of going to jump around a little bit. So we're going to start in verse 6. Isaiah 58:6 says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of the wicked, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke. Verse 9, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou shalt take away in the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday." Verse 11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Jump down to verse 14. "Then shalt thou delight in thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." So God's heart is for our bands to be loosened, and to undo heavy burdens that we can see the light. He is our protection and will guide us continually. But again, we have to speak the word and the goodness of God so that other people have the opportunity to know him and to live a more than abundant life, to be free from all these things. So we can accept the things that he's given us and then give back. We have to delight in the Lord, and he will always answer when we call. And again, nothing is too great or too small for God, like a little butterfly or the hot water to something great as, I don't know, healing or something like that. And we all need help, and there's no shame in that, but we have to ask for it. We have not because we ask not. But in the end, God just wants what's best for his people. And we're going to close in Acts 4:20, which was the theme verse of the camp. Acts 4:20. Acts 4:20 says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So what we can do is we can go out and speak all the words of this life, the things that we have seen, the things to come, the promises that the word has, and the goodness of God. And that's what I wanted to share.